relationship with God. We're speaking about this week, upward relationship with God, and how it might, maybe next week or week after, how it might benefit relationship and how you get cared for better in a small group, and then how can we then win the lost. And maybe the next few weeks should come with a spiritual health warning, because you might feel pressure, especially when we speak about prayer and people don't like feeling pressure to pray. Nay, our pressure is bad, people. We've got this thing in the Western world that every bit of pressure is man-made and for the devil, because God is a God of comfort and he wants us to have easy lives, doesn't he? Nay, always. And when we speak about pressure, you speak about pressure when you go to the house churches in China. They deal with pressure. They deal with persecution. They deal with constant daily pressure of being a Christian. You speak to a Christian in the Western world, and God wants to take our pressures. I want to say, some points in my life, pressure has been a good thing, especially when I'm thinking about my prayer life. The pressure isn't bad. And the heart is that you wouldn't just come in here, be invisible and leave, but you will be effective as Christians, which is done in small groups. I want it to mark it very difficult for you to be part of the church and need to be discipled, which is conforming more and more in the image of Jesus through relationship with God and others. Nay, our pressure is bad. Blood pressure. Minding my first aid course. The blood pressure, it's supposed to be between 80 and 120, something like that. What about if your blood pressure's at zero? What are you? Dead. Corpse. Pressure's good. I want to explain better. Pressure is good. There's a pressure, good pressure to provide for your family and work. Is that a bad pressure? It's a good pressure. It motivates you. There's a pressure in sport that motivates people to keep fit. I've not got that pressure, like. If you did see my walking around the stage quite a lot, I need to do 6,000 steps a day, and I'm now on 3,300. So I need to keep my steps up. There's a pressure in the sun that we want to see, but that stops it from exploding. There's a pressure around us that keeps our feet in the ground. Divers and astronauts will tell you about the importance of air pressure. I've got to say, in the Western church, when you meet people that's gone through pressure, it's always seen as a demonic bad thing, and you've got to have the easy life. But I believe, as we do house church, and maybe sometimes it's a pressure scenario, that God will use that to accelerate us to the next level. For the dead with the early disciples was go from house to house. They prayed together. They broke bread together. They came around the word of God together. They worked out the apostles' teaching together. Jesus immediately got 12 people running about in a house church scenario. And Jesus trained these people and taught them how to pray. Taught them how to communicate with the Father with intimacy, teaching them how to pray. Something that excites me about house church is you will hear an example on how to pray. In a group of 10 to 15 adults that anybody can come in and join and get an example on how to pray. I'm thinking of Heather again. Us teaching her how to pray. As I woke up this morning, there was a scripture that Paul says that he says, you have many teachers, but few fathers. We have no lack of teachers in the Western world. You can go onto YouTube and Bethel and Hillsong and get any teaching you want. There's a blue letter Bible, the red letter Bible. You could get the Bible in any color you want, any translation you want. You could be a student in Hebrew, Greek, Aramaic. There's teachers that come and go. You can want to study anything to do with the Word of God, and you can type into Google and find pages and pages of answers. You want to find out about grace? Type in grace. You'll have pages of teaching and preaching. You want to find out about salvation? Go for it. There's many teachers. The church is now lacking in knowledge. But yeah, it says that knowledge puffs up, love builds up. I think we are looking for is fathers and mothers. What's the difference between a teacher and a father? Then a teacher can come in and give you information, life tools, and then we'll walk off the stage and go home. And you have got to walk away as well. A father is saying, I'm committed to teach you, to come around you, to love on you, to care for you, to be an example to this thing called the Christian life. And I'm looking new, I'm seeing mature Christians that have been Christians 10, 15, 20 years. How is that getting passed on to these people that don't know how to pray? Well, you can't know how to pray, but far as the father and the mother heart that say, I want to teach people. I think that's for them. I want to teach people how to pray. Somebody that doesn't care how to communicate with the father. They say the best way to learn a foreign language is not to listen to tapes. If you want to learn Chinese, what can the best way to learn Chinese? Not to go to the Chinese down the road. Far said that. You got to do a bit more than sweet and sour chicken. The best way to learn is to go there. Mine Uncle Johnny, Isabel's Uncle Johnny, the Ica Uncle Johnny. He had all the tapes, didn't he? We got to Spain and being a missionary in Spain. And then he went to Spain and it was a different dialect. And he had to learn Spanish by listening and hearing and doing. That's how you learn a different language. You heard, if he was here a couple of weeks ago, Pastor Winston, speaking broch. Yeah, amazing when a Filipino speaks broch. Hey, Mildred, speaking broch. Half a rare. Just half a rare, Ken. He might have been listening to the crash course on how to communicate with Queen's English before he came. How would he have gotten on? How would he have gotten on even if he learned Scottish before he came? You learn it by getting in the mix of the people that's speaking it. And we learn how to pray by getting around people that's praying. I remember when we did prayer, we did prayer groups. There was different things running about the hall. And we split up into groups and we just prayed for. I'm not picking you, Louise, because she just started coming to church, got saved, sitting in her group. I heard her pray. That excites me when you hear somebody that you've never heard pray before actually pray. And she prayed like Ruth. I took her to church. I thought it was even more interesting. Because you pray like the person or the people that you sit around with that would pray for you. I wonder if we've all got our own stories like that. We teach each other to pray. There's this pressure that you would hear in a small group to pray. But we learn how to pray, not just by closing the door and, okay, teach me how to pray. We really do learn to pray by listening to other people pray. I've made some mistakes we have before, and I've opened myself up. I used to say Jesus an awful lot of times when I used to pray. You think, oh, that's not bad, is it? Until somebody says, you don't really need to say Jesus all the time. You say, right, Jesus, I pray, Jesus, that Jesus, you'd look after my Jesus, the day Jesus, and all things Jesus, and look after my the day Jesus, and pray, fight for my Jesus, I'm so thankful, Jesus, and just repetition, Jesus, all the time. I've got to say Jesus. The more times I can say Jesus, the more successful my prayer will be, Jesus, because Jesus, you really need to hear your word prayer all the time. Until somebody says, do you really need to say Jesus, like 40 times within 3 seconds, good. Pressure. I was annoyed. I was offended at that. I went home and called him out, Isabel. How dare they say my prayers? But it helps you. Hold on. Maybe I really don't need to say his name all the time. I never say Nathan. How's it going, Nathan? How's your job? And how's my parts, Nathan? How's your much selling, Nathan? Nathan a day. How's your Nathan a day? You're looking good, Nathan. I like your black dress, Nathan. It's good. What did I do to somebody else? And we just have to watch and we just need to learn for other people. Again, in little hubs of house churches, I can see it. Just learning for other people. One people that didn't ken how to pray, just to sit and listen. I go to the prayer meeting and I just listen to prayers, people praying. Some of the best praying people in this church is found in the prayer meeting. I'll pick on somebody else that's not here, because Mary Ritchie, I love just listening to her pray. Now, I'm not saying that's a thing about Christian life is, you can say two words, it's more meaningful with the right heart, but just to hearing some folk communicate with the Lord and include a hymn or thanksgiving, that's got to take somebody on, isn't it? I agree with that. Because sometimes you sit and listen to somebody and think, I want to gain Jesus like they gain Jesus. I want to speak to Jesus like they speak to Jesus. I want to worship them like they worship. And I believe through this times it will get people just being able to communicate with God better. Another thing, you become aware of so many other needs. We hear prayer meeting every Monday, as it's been mentioned. How many adults is there here, roughly? 100! My type of guy. Hundreds. For the sake of the podcast, it's 3,000. But for us that's actually here, I guess 70 adults and kids downstairs. We have prayer meeting every Monday from a prayer for needs. How much needs do we usually end up with? Roughly. Three. If I said three, everything's in three in Christian circles. Three, six, never more than eight. We can if people are in hospital, things like that. We definitely pray for them. So, what did you say, 70? 70 adults plus kids. Only seven needs every week in this church. We are doing pretty well, aren't we? The thing is, once you get in small groups and you ask each other, fit is your needs, I guarantee there's more than seven needs per week in this church. But we just don't want to communicate, we don't want to bother a pastor, that's not that big. But you imagine you sit in your group, your house church, 10, 15 people. Okay, fit is actually the needs. Not a need that you would maybe appeal at front for and you'd come for, but fit is your need. I was working through this, I says to Isabel, so I'm thinking about the people that have a genuine fear of going to the dentist. And when they respond to the front, fear is real. You might say, well, that's not really that important, is it? Because I like going to the dentist. But if it's real for that person, then it's real. If about that person that's really scared and apprehensive about maybe losing their job or have lost their job, that's not mentioned in the weekly prayer meeting. But these things happen. And if it happens in a small group, is all the needs get prayed for and even sometimes met within the group. So that people are getting prayed for. And if I'd mentioned that to Isabel, it was when Gladys had her thing about going to the dentist. And I kind of, Rona May was really good to her. And Gladys is here with her super smile. Good to see you. I need sunglasses. Every time you smile now. It was the same week. And it's great she had Rona there, but how do we structure things in such a way that nobody's needs get missed? That if you had a job interview on the Wednesday, you would say to your house church, you need to pray for me. I'm nervous as anything. I've never been to an interview before. And if it's your house church going today, okay, next. We'll see you next week. So I'll pray for you. Come on. They're difficult. Pray. Let's pray. Things like that. So need start getting met. So instead of six needs every week that will get brought before the church to pray for, you've now got the avenue, the potential that everybody that's what faced something within a week or is facing something, health worries, marriage problems, things like that, can say, this is my family, can you pray for me? I think that's a great thing. I wouldn't want to do one thing else, actually, now I start thinking about it. I think the why we're doing it, the big ship, is fine, and the church is growing. And some people are saying, well, the church is growing, just keep doing it. But when you see something better that you can do to make it better in Lifeboat, let's get excited about this. You've got to go for it. I can, it's my head that's on the blocks here. Because it's me, it's pushing us. We've got to do it. And I just want your needs to get met. Pastor's heart. Pastor's heart. One thing. I just want you to get, Ken, you're part of a family that's praying for you. I just want widows to Ken that there's people there for you. It's not circling around one person. There's people that's got to look after you. That's got to turn up with soup. That's got to message you. It's got to pray for your needs. Still with me? Okay. This is a biggie. Is there pressure in a small group to pray? This is far I'm going to say that pressure is a good thing. Because I look back and how I got discipled through Teen Challenge with a small group setting. I told you my story last week, how I first prayed. And when I prayed in that setting, it was like a damn burst. I started greeting in front of 15 guys. And just, I prayed for the first time out loud. It was a severely emotional, joyous occasion. And I think that's a good pressure to hear that you didn't get in church. That you can come here, and if I opened it up, let's just say a time of complete honesty. If I open up, right, let's go into a time of prayer, and let's pray for the church, pray for these. There's probably a 10 people that I would probably guess might pray. Because they've been through that discipleship scenario and they're confident to pray. As far as the last time, I would say, I've heard somebody that's like a new believer. I just burst a new in prayer. That's what I want to see. Is that for you want to see? It just be great unction. It's never prayed before. The heathers, the others. And there's no that pressure in a church of 70 adults. You can come. It can be an appeal for prayer. We could do worship. You can come and you can go out. You can listen to the one or two prayer. Totally different when you're sitting in a circle of 15 and you're praying for other people's needs. Oh, the pressure. Oh, the pressure. When you're sitting in a, and you've never prayed before out loud, and I remember my heart pounding in my chest. I believe I want to pray out loud here. The thing is, I was in a small group, and I mindful I was withdrawn for heroin, and I remember people praying for me, and I was in need, and I just sat there, and I just got prayed for, and I was fine, and then I got well and became a Christian, and then a guy sitting next to me, withdrawn for heroin. Oh, I should pray for him. I've never prayed out loud before. Oh, this has got to be difficult. And we sit in a group of 15 and people have moved on for the program and I'm now seen as quite mature here. Oh, dearie me. Our eyes are on me and there's moments of silence. And you just think, my heart's pounding, I've got words in my mouth. He's going to speak. Pray for my brother. Because he can't speak for himself. Because he's in need. He needs somebody to pray for him. If nobody else prays for him here, I'm just going to open my mouth and do it. And we at Kim Hill, wave of weeping and reality hut and presence of Jesus. And hell thing, but it was a big step. But I came through a thing of pressure. I could have rebuked the devil. How dare you get me open my mouth and pray. I'm just right here in a relationship with Jesus on my end and I need to pray for them to show them people I'm a Christian. You think the devil's trying to get you to pray out loud? because he's got to try and get you the other stuff. And I'm again at Omdi. I'm just saying, I want to see more people that experiences, or let's just pray. You have no problem going into Tesco's and asking for the fancy pieces of. You've no problem going to the butcher and asking for a pint of mince. How about coming before our Heavenly Father and just asking for help for yourself, for other people. My heart is with this lifeboat, this house churches, that we'll see people engage with God in a way that they never thought they would ever. And it's too easy not to do here. I said at the start, I want to make it very difficult for you to come here and not to be a disciple. For you to come here and not to hear prayer life. For you to come here and not to read the Bible. I don't make it very difficult because I'm going to meet Jesus one day. And he's not going to say to me, Kevin, how big was your meeting? Oh, 100 folk came to hear me every Sunday, Jesus. High five. Whew. I don't think he's got a high five, man. I think I was 16 a year and like, really? I think you've got to do it as well. I told you to go and make disciples. Go and teach a bunch of 15 people how to pray, read the Bible. You put on a show. Expected people to come to the show. But can they pray? And I can, Jesus, this is coming. I'm not really bothered if they pray. We've got a prayer meeting, isn't it? We've got a prayer meeting. So put, does your church pray and read the Bible and know me? That's the heart behind us, very briefly. You might be surprised. You might enjoy it. You might enjoy at times, as I did, seeing somebody pray. You might enjoy praying yourself. You're like, I didn't realize there's got to be this release. You might enjoy the journey with your house church, which we would look to multiply as well. Lastly, reading the Bible. Luke 24, Jesus risen, he's walking with his disciples, and it just says that he opened up the scriptures to them. He opened up the scriptures to them. My heart is with these house churches that the scriptures would be open to people. We've got people here so equipped with journeys with Jesus. Okay, now there's different groups going on. We've got people here with 10, 15, 20 years of scripture reading. Well, the scriptures being opening to them. I could name them. I look about the mature Christians, that generation. Wouldn't it be something just to sit with these people and say, can you open up the scriptures to me? Then I preach it kind of way. Preaching is, I'm opening up the scriptures to you, you've got to go away, learn for yourself. But in a house church scenario, it's coming together and learning from each other's experience. And I see that if we come reading the Bible and we look at Ephesians 1 and we start asking questions, it would benefit us. George Wiseman was the only one that's ever asked a question on me during my preaching. God bless him. Other than that, you didn't ask questions. And they're allowed. Only him. But you've got questions that you want to ask. But the church format, what we did, you did get the opportunity to ask questions. You've just a ticket that I can't find speaking about. And take it as the truth. And if that happens on a Sunday, it's great, and it's been inspirational when it works. Then you've got to walk away from how much of the sermon that you hear on Sunday do you apply through the week? Even in a good service. Because when Monday hits, you're probably thinking about something else. Like, I've been a Christian 15 years. Went through Teen Challenge, which was intensely discipleship. In 15 years, how much sermons have I sat through? 15 times. How do I even work that out? How much weeks? That's 52 weeks in a year. So it's 52 times 15. We used to have two services in a Sunday times two. A lot of sermons. How much have I applied? That's a good question. How much did I even mind by Monday? Well, I was good in the moment and things, but it's a good question, isn't it? My prayer is that when we sit down and discuss in house churches, that if it is preached and taught suddenly becomes reality that's to be applied through the vehicle of asking questions and answer. So Kevin says that on Sunday morning. I'm not too sure if I agree with that. This is my experience. And then I share an experience as well. Maybe I was wrong, because I'm certainly not infallible. Maybe he got it wrong. Maybe we need to speak to him and say, well, I really agree with that. Question, you might say, well, I have never noticed that in the Bible before. This is all becoming new to me. Somebody might say, and somebody else would say, well, hey, aye, let's pray about this. The opening up of the Word of God. Okay, dealing with specifics. Let's get the worship band up. You're going to feel in the coming weeks, okay, there's no ministry time to be hid after this. So the worship band, we've got to take up our offerings. We're on a journey together, and this is our hope is getting recorded. Because for people that's missed maybe one, you can maybe catch up. And the prayer is as we go forward that even as I give you information and share my heart, you suddenly see the need. We sign up and then we can start seeing far people would go. I said this last week that we're now looking to split people up. We're now looking to split families up and we're now looking to split friends up. So maybe you have to put a questionnaire out there or far as the 3-4 people that you think you're closest to that you would see yourself going to house churches with. Because friendships has already been made organically, so wouldn't it be good for us to say, right, you've got to separate for the good of the gospel. So, but as we journey on this, please feel free to ask questions. This is a lot. I'm speaking about changing our culture here. A culture has never changed with 2 sermons, 3 sermons, 4 sermons. A culture has changed by keep on being vocal, communicating it well, having discussion times, and then going for it. So please stand. We'll again commit to the Lord. Jesus, your heart is that we'd see people in their relationship with you, not just surviving, but thriving. That is your heart, that upward relationship. And in coming weeks, we'll speak about relationships with each other and how we can win the lost. But this morning, we've discussed prayer and how we can bring folk forward that doesn't even know you into a relationship with you. And once knowing you as our Savior, but then how to have fullness of our relationship with you. And God, we see you during the scriptures, Jesus, how you withdrew and you prayed, and we think of the Mount of Transfiguration that he says to Peter, James, and John during a time of prayer, look, come, join me in this time of prayer. And then the glory fell and heavenly things happened. And God, I pray that we'd hear this times in house churches, that the glory would fall. That as people bring their needs before each other, that needs would start to be met and suddenly as would happen, it would be so explosive that we'd wonder why we didn't do this 5 years ago. We'd wonder why we didn't do it 10 years ago. And God, as we come round the Word of God together, not just now listening to one speaker give his opinion, but to glean for each other's stories. I thank you for the wealth of stories that is stored up within people's lives here. Stories of miracles, stories of faithfulness, stories of revelation of the Word of God. And God, one day that stories would be lost if we didn't share them and we simply went to heaven. God, that stories would reignite passion. And God, it would strengthen and edify the body of believers. As we sit around the Word of God together, that Spirit of revelation would be there teaching us and guiding us. And God, people's hunger for the Word of God wouldn't dissipate. And it wouldn't say, they wouldn't have the idea, well, we'll go on Sunday to hear the Word of God, but they would get the Word of God involved in their lives, that the Word of God would become alive and living and active. They would see it as useful and essential for daily life and living, and they would be able to apply it in everyday scenarios. And God, they'd think, why did we not do this 5 years ago? Why did we not just sit down with each other and have a relationship with each other and eat with each other and discuss important biblical truths together? And we say, God, would you guide us step by step? And even